Anybody got testimony this week? They're thinking.
I have a prayer request. I felt like I threw up my back this morning or something.
Really?
Yeah. I was drying my hair and I leaned forward and I felt something kind of give. And now it's really, I can feel something back there.
Oh, we'll pray for that right now. I thought I'd throw up my back painting that fence.
Because
every, you know, the slats, they go up and down, and you gotta bend way down to get the water, you know. You do that about 1,000 times, and all of a sudden you feel it.
As long as it's when you're done.
Yeah. Finished it Friday afternoon at 5:30. Finally finished it. Both sides, you know. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what, gives us these things. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for Ellie, and Lord, we just ask you to place your healing hand upon her back there, Lord, and whatever that is, pulled muscle, whatever it might be, Lord, that you just mend and heal it as only you can. Lord, we thank you for the miracle of healing. It is a miracle how these physical bodies of clay, when they get cut or burnt or injured or broken in any way, you bring healing to them, Lord. That is a notable miracle. We thank you for that. And we thank you for healing Ellie, Lord. And we just praise your holy name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our Bibles. This morning we'll get right to our message in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Oh, how we love the book of Daniel. Glory to God. There is so much in the writings of Daniel, of course, companion book to Revelation. In Daniel chapter number 6 this morning, just before we read, the year is 538 B.C. Children of Israel have been in captivity for 68 years now down in Babylon. Because of their idolatry, the Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. There remains just 2 years until the 70 years are complete, and they are delivered, and Cyrus issues a decree of liberty to the Israelites. Darius is now king of Babylon because his father Ahasuerus conquered Nebuchadnezzar. There were 3 kings, really 4, if you want to count Cyrus. There were 4 while they were in captivity because Cyrus was the 4th that issued the decree of liberty. And that was prophesied over 200 years before he was born, that a king named Cyrus would issue that decree, because God knows the future before it happens because he inhabits it. But in chapter 15, I want you to... a conspiracy has taken place here. The presidents and princes of Babylon are jealous of Daniel because they see Daniel, the living God, is with them. Amen? And so they say, you know, there's no way we can trip this guy up. He's faithful to God. And the only way we're going to get him is if we, like, make a new law and have the king sign it and have him violate it. And the only way he's going to violate a law is if it comes against his belief in his God. So they do. And they get Darius the king to sign this decree that if any person pray to any god, small g, except the king, Darius, they should be cast into the den of lions. And he signs the decree. Pick it up in verse 15. And let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on faith stopping the mouths of lions. Lord in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Daniel's steadfast faith. Lord, how we thank you that we need that same saving biblical faith today. How we thank you, Lord, that you change not. You were there for Daniel and you're here for us today. And Lord, the only thing we need is faith. Just to believe your word of promise, like Daniel did, and see the deliverance come. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. We ask you to bless it, and we ask you to strengthen our faith today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. Glory to God. The great prophet Daniel is now 90 years old. He was just a young man of 22 when he came to Babylon in the exile of 606 BC. Daniel has been a shining pillar of spiritual strength. His ministry spans 7 decades. He is an example of faith to the people of Israel in captivity throughout the 70 years. But now, after so many decades of faithful service, he finds himself facing the greatest test of his faith in his entire life. He's told, "We'll kill you, Daniel, if you pray to your God. We'll feed you to the hungry lions and you'll die." Remember that all the Israelites are watching to see what Daniel would do. So let's examine the text today and see Daniel's faith put to the test. 2 things I want to look at. First, we'll see Daniel's steadfast faith. And second, we'll see God's great deliverance. First, in Daniel's steadfast faith, notice first of all that his faith overcame his fear. Amen? Sometimes our faith needs to overcome our fears. Look in verse number 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," notice that, he waited till the king signed the decree. And he knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, here, notice that Daniel's steadfast faith triumphs immediately over any reservation, over any hesitation about praying to God. Listen, he goes into his chamber there, and he makes sure the windows are wide open. No storm treating windows for Daniel. Gets on his knees, and he starts praying something like this. "Oh God of Israel, glory to your name today. I give you praise and worship for being my God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He's not praying. He's praying like he means it. Amen? Listen now. Daniel's faith overcame his fear. People, we need the same faith that Daniel had today in these last days. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. We know it could get a little bit rough around here before the rapture, before the trumpet blows. And we need to have a steadfast faith overcoming our fears. Daniel understood 1 John 5:4. It says, "And this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." This is the victory, even our faith. You know what the world doesn't have that you have? Faith. That's it. The only difference between us and the world out there, the lost world, is our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe like Daniel believed. Daniel was an overcomer, and so are we by faith. Glory to God. Did you ever stop to think that God has never, ever been afraid of anything throughout all eternity? So why should you or I have any fear? Listen, God's in control. Yeah, there's a big bad storm on the way, but God's in control. Yeah, there's a big earthquake last night, a tsunami, but God's in control. Yeah, the White House, the administration there is bad, but God's in control. And our faith is going to overcome our fears. But something else concerning Daniel's steadfast faith this morning I want you to notice. His faith compelled him to pray. Amen? Look at verse 11. Verse 11. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." Wow. Daniel knew that the time to pray was right then and there. They listen, when they passed laws in Washington against against the life of unborn children? We need to pray. Amen. When they pass laws in Washington that men can marry men, we need to pray. When they pass laws in Washington and trying to break down the traditional family that God has ordained, we need to pray. Amen? We need to pray, beloved. Church, these blind fools found Daniel praying and making supplication to God. Prayer is asking, John R. Ray said. Supplication is begging. That's serious praying when you make supplication. Daniel needed God here and now, and he found him. But realize, beloved, that his steadfast faith was compelling him now to pray through. Amen. He saw what they were doing down there in Babylon. And he said, you know what? I'm going to pray through this situation. I'm going to seek God and watch what he's going to do. Glory to God. There is a certain evidence of biblical faith in a person. You know it. That person's saved. You know he's got saving faith. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying according to God's will. James said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. About 6 or 7 years ago, down in Pennsylvania, in an old coal mine that became completely flooded, except for a 5 by 8 foot square compartment in which they were imprisoned. By the way, there was 6 coal miners imprisoned in this little space for 4 horrifying days. When after they were finally rescued, all 6 of the men said that they were compelled to pray either until they were dead or rescued. They were rescued. They prayed for 4 days until the rescuers got to them. But something else concerning Daniel's steadfast faith, his faith was demonstrated by silence. Amen? Look with me in verse 16. Notice this in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Did you catch that? Let's read that again. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. What don't I see in that verse? I don't see Daniel begging for his life. I don't see Daniel saying, oh, king, I didn't do it. No, Daniel's not denying his prayer to God. Listen now. He is silent as a lamb before the shearers. In fact, Daniel wasn't even asked to defend or to deny the charges. He says nothing. Sometimes, folks, we need, you know, when the world comes against us, we just need the faith of silence. Just let them ramble. Let them talk. Let them think what they want. God knows the truth. Amen? Listen, beloved, here's an amazing truth revealed. That is that when we become the target of ridicule and persecution and exclusion and false accusation, it is better to not say anything rather than to lash out and say and do things we'll regret afterward. Silence. 1 Peter 2:21 says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Listen, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's what we need to do. That's what Daniel did. He said, I'm going to believe in my God and I'm going to trust him, though they cast me in the den of lions. Makes me think of the Lord standing before Pontius Pilate. When Pilate asked him, what sayest thou concerning these accusations? Jesus was silent. Not a word. Do what you want, buddy. It's not going to face me a bit. I'm serving my Father. Glory to God. Daniel's faith was demonstrated by his silence. And we need to follow that example at times. Concerning Daniel's steadfast faith, fourthly, his faith produced a good testimony. Amen. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, then the king, Darius, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. What? I wonder why. What did he do? Let's look at this. Was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He didn't want to throw him in the den of lions. Why? Daniel had a good testimony. This king knew he was innocent. This king knew that he was a man of God. Look at, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He's saying, what can I do to set Daniel free? These dumb princes of mine have set him up. He knew what they did. He knew exactly what was going on. He said, I signed that decree, and now I got to feed him to the lions. Beloved, Daniel was known to have an impeccable character. He had a good testimony. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, by God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Wouldn't you love to have that said about you? Your God, Mike, who you serve continually, he's going to deliver you. I love it. He knew that Daniel served God continually. He proclaimed it right there. He had a good testimony. Listen now. In verse 20, he's called the servant of the... Look at that, verse 20. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Servant of the living God. He knew it was Daniel's faith that produced this good testimony in his life. Amen? He believed God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:3, now if any man love God, the same is known of him. You know, David goes there and he's driving this guy around, taking him to the mall or whatever. And his co-workers know that that guy loves God. Carry that Bible, that big Dr. Ruckman reference Bible around with you. And always giving all those trick tracks. And what is this? His wife, too. She's a religious fanatic. Amen, amen, amen. He had a good testimony. Glory to God. Darius knew that Daniel loved God. Why? Because Daniel's faith produced a good testimony. A well-known preacher was invited to an inaugural ball not long ago at the White House. And as the preacher and his wife were approaching the main entrance, there was a local town drunk arguing with the doorman. Saying, give me a drink. Let me in. I want a drink. He said he didn't need an invitation. Just then the doorman paused and said, welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Graham. Billy Graham and his wife. And please come right in. The drunkard was escorted away by a policeman. What was the difference? Billy Graham had a good testimony. That fellow didn't. That's the difference between the two. So did Daniel, because of his faith. Okay, we've seen Daniel's steadfast faith. But this morning, I want you to see God's great deliverance. God's great deliverance. Three things in God's great deliverance. First, notice the world's curiosity of God's ability. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Then the king, Darius, arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? You know what he has? He has a curiosity. You know what that world has out there? They want to know if Karen's God is real. They want to know if the God that Ellie prays to and the God that Ellie talks about is real. They're curious. They may not admit it, but they are. They want to know if what you've got is genuine. Listen now. Darius is an idol-worshipping, soothsaying, unbelieving heathen king. Yet, look at his incredible curiosity towards God's ability to deliver Daniel in verse 20. He wanted to know, is your God real? Can he really save you? He didn't sleep a wink that night. Amen. He wants to see how God, and if God, is able. Do you realize, church, this morning there's a world full of curious people out there? They're looking for something. They don't know what it is. God put it in them to seek him. Amen. It's an emptiness within that only Jesus can fill. And they're curious if what you've got is the real thing. They're curious about this Christianity. In Acts 24, Felix, the governor, sent for Paul to come and show him concerning this Jesus. And after hearing him, Felix said, go thy way, and when I have convenient season, I'll call for thee again. He was curious, but he wasn't convinced, like so many today. Chapter 26, King Agrippa said, almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was curious, but he wasn't convinced. Just like Darius the king was curious, but not convinced. But something else concerning God's great deliverance. Observe, secondly, observe the means of his deliverance. I like this. Observe the means of his deliverance. In verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God had sent his what?
Angel.
And had shut the lions' mouths. I'm talking about faith stopping the mouths of lions this morning. Listen, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done no hurt. Think with me now, church. God could have split those lines in half, just like the Red Sea. He would have been eating them instead of them eating him. Or God could have rained down fire and brimstone like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Or God could have spoke one word and made those lines disappear. But he didn't. What did he do? What means did he use? Look at verse 22. My God had sent his angel. Now, instead of miraculously annihilating these lions, God sends an angel. He shuts the lions' mouths. He only sent one angel, by the way. Beloved, do you realize today that we have angels watching over us? And these angels, they're holy elect angels, they're standing angels, and they are the means whereby God delivers us many times and we don't even know it. I know I'd be dead and buried 6 feet under if it wasn't for God's angels watching over me. Man, oh man, so many times I could have been killed, and God just saves you. God keeps you going for him. Amen? Glory to God. We have angels. I love it. Now, Psalm 103, verse 20, it's don't turn. It says, bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening diligently unto the voice of his word. They obey him. When he tells them, you keep Karen going, they do. You know, when he tells them, you keep Mike, yeah, he's having heart surgery, open heart surgery right now, keep him alive. They do, you know. They transform in this physical realm. Hebrews 1:14 says, yea, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Answer, yes. Yes, they are. Glory to God. I'd even be willing to say that if it were not for God's holy angels, we'd all probably be dead and buried right now. The angels were his means of deliverance. But finally, beloved, this morning, in God's great deliverance, notice and admire the reason for his deliverance. Verse 23. Then was the king Darius exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Picture resurrection. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Woo! The reason for Daniel's deliverance is simply because he believed God. And you and I need to have that kind of faith that no matter what we're going through, God's going to see me through. God's going to take care of the situation. God's going to deliver me. I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was not because of Daniel's 68-year ministry in Babylon. It was not because of his good testimony, or his overcoming his fears, or his compulsion to pray, or his silence before Darius, or his good works and faithful service. It was because Daniel believed in his God. Period. Belief. Faith. Daniel had a steadfast faith in what God could do, and not in himself and what he couldn't do. Amen. Beloved, admire the incredible faith of Daniel here. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Finish up here. Watch this incredible verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the great hall of faith. Amen? Guess who's mentioned here? Not by name. Look at this. In Hebrews chapter 11, look with me at verse 33. Speaking of all these, verse 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I love it. Through faith, stopped the mouths of lions. Listen to me, beloved. You can shut the mouths of lions. Those lions are a picture of demons. You know that. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they've got to shut up and take off when we come against them. Glory to God. He has given us authority over the enemy. And nothing by shall any means hurt you. Glory to God. Faith stopping the mouths of lions. Let me give you this in closing. We'll be done. The year was 1620. Wonder what happened that year. The dimensions of the tiny little Mayflower were 113 by 26 foot. The little ship spent 67 days on the stormy North Atlantic seas, filled beyond capacity with 120 passengers, huddled below. Listen, the Mayflower was tossed to and fro and at the mercy of the high seas. But the real power of the tiny Mayflower was the steadfast faith of its 120 occupants, who simply believed God would bring them to a promised land where they could freely worship and serve him all their life long, and so they did. You know what they had? They had steadfast faith. They believed that God had a special place for them where they could establish Bible-believing churches and worship Jesus Christ and live free. Glory to God. And that place was America. Glory to God. Why? It's all because of faith stopping the mouths of lions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help me thank you today for biblical, saving faith. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we thank you this morning that it's so clear. Daniel overcame because of his faith in you. And Lord, we too can overcome today because of our faith in you. Same God, same deliverer, same faith. Lord, we thank you that all through the Bible, we see example after example after example of biblical faith in the living God. Lord God of Israel, that's who they called you. You are the Lord God of Israel still, and you will restore them. You're the living God. And we thank you today, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you have imparted saving faith to each of us. Thank you so much today, Lord, that our faith is strengthened every time we crack open the pages of that holy book. Thank you for that, Lord. Your word increases our faith in you. You've so designed it that way. Lord, the natural, unsaved, unregenerate man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's nothing but foolishness to them. But Lord, to us who know you and love you, it is precious, Lord. It's our most prized possession, the Word of God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the faith that it produces, the faith that it nurtures and nourishes, and the faith that it increases in our daily lives. We love you today, Lord, and our prayer this morning as a church family, Lord, increase our faith in these last days. We're going to need it, Lord. Lord, we don't know how much evil we'll see taking place in this world, but we know that we're very close to the end, and we know that we need to have a steadfast faith. We need to be overcomers. And 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we thank you, Lord, that it's a gift of God, just like that grace that saves us. We love you today, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Boy, that sermon really came alive today. Amen. Now I know why the Word of God is living. It's like just, wow. And you know, it's so awesome because I've so many preachers don't realize this. It's a picture of the resurrection, the death, burial, the
coming up, out of the pit.
Oh, and I thought of Pilate. I mean, yeah, the king, he worked harder than Pilate did, though, I think. Because I thought of that, like, Pilate, it's kind of like Pilate working. He wanted to get him delivered. He was kind of bothered by it. But Darius worked a little harder than Pilate.
Pilate knew that he was innocent. Yeah. That's a good illustration there.
When you were reading it, I saw it. I was like, wow, what's the king, you know, labored. Yeah. He was bothered. There's
interesting, too, that I mentioned Pilate and Jesus was silent before him.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Powerful. Yeah, especially when, like you said, he didn't, and Jesus didn't have to say.